This is Rich Coe's close friend and confidant to Sven Gulli.
Hi. How are you,
Rich?
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
I'm sorry we had like a false alarm with you. We brought you up to sit with us, and then we said, just kidding, psych.
Because you weren't sure about the phone interview. So
right.
I was like the...
You were in the bullpen.
In case of emergency, break glass.
That's you.
Hi, Rich Glass here. You know.
That's you. Rich, isn't it nice to have a museum here in our city that pays tribute to all the great television and radio moments that have happened?
Really, I think this place is probably one of the best-kept secrets in Chicago, and it's great that now with this exhibit especially, people are finally realizing that it's here. There have been so many people, because, you know, we have the Sven Gulli exhibit downstairs, and I'd tell them, you know, go in and see it, and they'd come back and say, well, I didn't know this place even existed. So now the word is getting out, which is tremendous. Because there's so much, not just national television stuff, but a lot of Chicago TV history here. And it's a great experience for people.
Bill, you have to see Garfield Goose.
I don't remember what
floor Garfield Goose is on.
Three?
All right, thank you.
Yeah, it's right near the Sven Gulli exhibit, which
there's a Sven Gulli exhibit?
Why, funny you should ask, Billy, yes.
Oh,
actually,
shocked.
It's our original set and my original coffin. And,
who else can say those words with a straight face?
Well, my original
coffin.
I've always told you the story that when I went to see my cardiologist, and it was when we had gotten the coffin that we use on the show now, and I said to him, how many of your patients can tell you that they've had two coffins? And he looks at me and says, you almost had a third.
Which coffin was this? Rich brought a picture of when Bill and I were on the Sven Gulli show in 1996.
Yeah.
And I have the same makeup that you have, evidently. Boy, when you look back on things, you think you should have done it differently.
Max Factor hadn't invented pigment yet. It was a very...
That's actually the coffin and walls of the set that are down in the...
The original. Yep.
Yeah.
So we're going to put that online. Thank you for bringing this. It was a fun time.
Sure, yeah. And, like I was telling you earlier, when I look at it, it looks like I'm in a funhouse mirror because I look so much thinner.
I want to bridge the gap between your show and Saturday Night Live. It's not easy, but let me try. Before Saturday Night Live was on at 10:30 on Saturday nights, the show that most of us here in Chicago watched was Creature Features on Channel 9. So you were already at the competition at Screaming Eagle Theater. You were writing for them, for the original Sven Gulli, as a Northwestern student. Did you also watch Creature Features, or did you feel like, no, I get enough of this at work.
I watched Creature Features.
You did?
Because they had a lot of the good movies that we didn't have at first.
Right.
And I remember watching the very first Saturday Night Live show and saying, was it Mr. Mike teaching the immigrant John Belushi how to speak English? And saying, like, wow, what is this?
Michael O'Donohue, a writer for Harvard Lampoon and the National Lampoon.
Yeah.
He was at the very beginning. And I didn't know what this phrase meant at the time, but there's a phrase called the inmates have taken over the asylum.
Right.
And I remember watching it going, I don't know what to make of this. I love it, but I don't understand it yet. And that's kind of the analogy.
And that was exactly the way I felt, too.
Yeah.
And it was like, I was hooked from that first show.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to now have this display with so much of the history of the show here.
I can't stop watching the show. I mean, really, I can't. At least we can DVR.
Well, it's okay now because, no, I'm not on opposite my show earlier in the night.
Rich, go back a second. You talked about it wasn't a rival, it was a friendly rivalry between your show, Sven Gulli, Screaming Eagle Theater, and Creature Features. So why were they getting the A-list movies, the Universal, the original Dracula, the original Frankenstein, and you were getting I Was a Teenage Werewolf and things like that?
Well, back then it wasn't me. It was Jerry G. Bishop.
Right, right.
But the reason was, quite honestly, that, it was WGN, Channel 9, which was so established, and this was WFLD, Channel 32, which wasn't quite in the same position.
Financially.
So, we get... it came from under the stairs and then went back down, movies like that. But of course, they got the A-list 7. Eventually, we did get them.
Yeah.
And, it was during my tenure that we got them there.
What was the movie? I remember this as a kid, and I don't think you were with the show yet. I think it was still Jerry playing Sven Gulli. But there were these things that looked like jellyfish that would fly through the air and attach themselves to people's heads. and suck out their brains. Was that one movie or every movie?
Fiend Without a Face?
It might have been Fiend Without a Face.
Which is a movie we've been trying to get forever. We're working on it. It was this invisible menace was destroying people's brains and killing them. They found a way to make them visible. And when they were visible, they were basically brains with spinal columns.
That's it.
And they inched along in the spinal columns like caterpillars.
Yeah.
And they had little antenna. And they would attack them by leaping through the air and wrapping the spinal column around the person's throat.
Right.
Very plausible.
Based on a true story.
But see, now you do fine because people can DVR all this stuff now. Before, it's like you had to watch it live or you missed it.
Yeah, but there are a lot of people who do watch it live because if you go on Twitter on Saturday nights, I'm amazed. We're trending, you know, in the top numbers.
Yeah, from my house, the boys and Jimmy Mac are watching.
God bless them, So it's nice, and it's just amazing to me to be, you know, hearing from people all over the country. It's pretty cool.
And we have discussed this with you in the past, but some of those people that you've been hearing from are very, very famous, notable people, aren't they?
Yeah, we have people who are big fans, like Mark Hamill, and Gilbert Gottfried has been a guest on the show several times.
Yeah.
David Desmalchin, who was an Ant-Man, was Kurt the Russian hacker. He's a big fan.
Do they reach out to you?
Some of them have,
Because I know Mark Hamill didn't have a T-shirt or something, or how did that happen?
You want me to tell the story?
Yeah.
Sure. I get an email, and it says, "Hi, I'm Mark Hamill, and I'm really a big fan of your show." And I'm like, okay. And I emailed him back, and I said, "You know, I'm very flattered, but, you know, even me as a bottom feeder celebrity have people who pretend to be me." So I said, "I wish there was a way to confirm that it was you." And he said, "Well, give me your phone number. I'll call you." And I'm like, "Yeah, that'll work. Sure. Not Mark Hamill." So I kept thinking, and I knew he had a verified Twitter handle. And I said, "I tell you what, just put a message on Twitter, and I'll know it's you."
Yeah.
So I'm waiting, and 1 hour goes by, 2 hours, 3 hours, and I'm going, "Yeah, Mark Hamill, okay." Finally, up comes a tweet from him saying, "One of the cool things I discovered this summer is the Svengoolie show on MeTV." So sent him the phone number. He called me. We talked the first time for like about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And he keeps promising that, he keeps saying it's our destiny to meet face to face, but he never quite gets to Chicago.
So
sometime down the line, though.
But it's a thrill to know that somebody you admire that much is a fan, isn't it?
Yeah, and I get emails from many quotes, little things from the show in it. And I'm like, wow, I've got Jedis. We're tracking very high with Jedis.
During the playoff run of the Blackhawks a year or so ago, I sent you a message saying, "We're watching the Blackhawks game, and they're talking about you on the Blackhawks game."
That's right. Doc Emmerich?
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, and I have no idea why he always brings up my name. He was finishing up a game not too long ago, and he goes, "You know, for me, and for so-and-so here, and Svengoolie." And I'm like,
just out of the blue.
But I guess he's a fan.
Yeah.
So you guys have contacts with him, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sometime I'd like to just say thank you.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a really nice man. That's Rich Pose. He's Svengoolie on TV. Watch him on MeTV.
He has an exhibit.
He's got an exhibit. We'll talk about that. Yeah, you do. You do. We'll talk about that next. Stick around, Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We are live in action from Saturday Night Live, The Experience. It's going on at the Museum of Broadcast Communications. You really need to come see it.
It's so good. Rich Kose is here. He is Svengoolie. Svengoolie.com is the website. You can watch him on MeTV every Saturday night at 7 and get scared along with the rest of us.
Don't you have to say spoiler alert when you say Svengoolie?
Yes.
I thought that was the secret.
Rich is one of Santa's helpers.
Okay.
Rich.
By the way, Bill, you're on that naughty list. So.
Oh, I am? Good. That's where I want to be. This is a strange tie-in, but you were almost featured on an episode of Saturday Night Live, but not really. Explain.
Yeah, this is a strange story, and I only have the facts due to a former coworker of mine, a friend, Steve Gadlin. Around the time of the election, there were a couple cast members and writers who were from Chicago, Michael O'Brien and Tim Robinson, and they wanted to write a bit going on the idea that what if Svengoolie worked for Fox News as a political pundit, and it would tie in, you know, with different, you know, doing puns the same way that I do. You know, I'm tired of the extremism of the liberal bleedia type stuff. And they were going to call the character the Scaremazing Gouldini.
who was a late-night horror host who was going to become this political pundit. And it made it all the way up and into dress rehearsal, but then got cut, I think, for time before it actually hit air. There's a picture on this exact Weekend Update set with, you know, the guy in the one chair, and then the other guy, he looked just like me.
And who was it who played you? Do you know?
I believe it was Tim Robinson.
Oh, it was, yeah.
And they said they had a great time. They were big fans of the show, and they watched a lot of my old bits just to get the feel of it. And it almost, so I almost became a character.
Oh, wouldn't that have been fun? And you didn't know it was coming. You might have been watching the show.
No, not at all. I think the first time I knew about it was when I saw the still picture. I think I sent it to Jasmine on the set. And I'm looking at it, it's like, that looks like me, but it's not me. Is this Photoshop or something? But,
great.
It's very flattering. I can't imagine what would have happened if the character actually was on there.
That would have been so much fun. Now, this is also very flattering. There's an award called the Rondo Award. You've won this in the past six times.
Six times.
But you're nominated again. Explain what the Rondo Award is.
The Rondo Awards are awards for horror and science fiction and, you know, various media. And they're really cool because the results are because fans vote for them. And you vote for your favorites and all this stuff. The voting is done online with cutting and pasting of the ballot. Mm-hmm. It's real simple.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been nominated again. I think it's category 21 or something as the favorite horror host. And
I was nominated for something different.
That sounded like it?
Yeah, a little bit.
More.
Less a syllable.
Really. But, yeah, I've been nominated again. And it's cool. And I always tell people, vote for who your real favorites are, you know. I'm not saying, you know, vote for me. I was almost Nixon there.
Yeah, a little bit.
But it's very cool, and it's a way for fans to kind of let the industry know what kind of stuff they like. So the voting goes on now. You go to, I think it's www.rondoaward.com.
Who are you up against?
There's at least, I want to say, 12 or 15 names in there.
So these are other horror hosts, including Elvira, from across the country.
All over the place. Some of them on the list I kind of question because they don't even have shows right now.
Well, then that's not fair.
Well, since when is politics fair? But, you know, there are a lot of them. And I think since we've been successful around the country, there are a lot of local stations who have thought, hey, we could do this, and have, you know, gotten their own hosts in that. So there's a lot of them. And one's doing them on public access.
Yeah.
And there's a big history of them. They're all out there, and they're all favorites of somebody. So
why do you think people like to be scared? What is it? Because I love to be scared, and I love to scare people. What is it about that? Because on paper, you go, well, that's not good, but it
sure
is good. It's fun.
No,
why?
I think I've mentioned this before. It's a lot like riding a roller coaster. You know when you get on it that it's going to be scary, and, you know, you're going to be really frightened, but in the end, you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
You're not hurt. And I think a horror movie is the same thing. You're going to see things that are scary and awful, and it's going to get that adrenaline pumping, but at the end of it, you haven't been hurt, and it's kind of a fun experience.
Yeah. Well, when you were younger, who was the go-to guy who does what you were doing? Like we said, there were horror hosts in almost every city, major city in America. Was there somebody that you said, wow, they're really doing it right?
Well, when I was very, very young, I saw Chicago's version that was Marvin, played by Terry Bennett, who mm-hmm. was in the original Shock Theater. Shock Theater was actually, Shock was the name of the film's, the Universal films in a package that they offered to stations all around the country. So there were many Shock theaters all over the place. But he did the show here, and he was kind of like a beatnik ghoul, and he played music and stuff. It was very cool.
Yeah.
I barely remember because I was very small at the time and was usually not allowed to stay.
Oh, really? Yeah.
But the thing that really got me hooked was when my mentor, Jerry G. Bishop, started doing the Svengoolie show. Because I was, you know, just graduated from high school, and I was a fan of his to begin with. And I saw that, and I thought, this is really fun and great stuff.
Yeah.
And you wrote in? How did you start?
I was just a fan of his and sent him some jokes, because he would read people's jokes and such. And I sent him a lot of stuff that he would use, and he found out that I was a student at Northwestern at the time. And he started to ask me to write specific things, like, can you write a parody of this commercial or whatever, and write song parodies for him. And eventually, I ended up working with him, and he was the one that decided I should be Son of Svengoolie, and he was also the one that decided I should just be Svengoolie.
To drop the son of.
Yeah, he told me, you're all grown up now. Just be Svengoolie. And I don't know if that all grown up. That
right.
People don't think I'm grown up, believe me.
Yeah, you and Bill are birds of a feather.
Yes,
I'll say that
definitely.
Much.
Kids forever.
Imagine if Twitter had been around back then where you could tweet him things, because that's how Mark Hamill and other people got in touch with you. Twitter's made it much easier. You could have tweeted him.
Everything has changed so much now. You know, with like the emails, Bill and I were talking earlier about the complaints I get from viewers and how it's so much easier for them to complain. Like, you keep running Godzilla movies. Those suck. And then, you know, you this whole month you run 1970s movies. Those suck.
I promised you I'd stop tweeting you.
I promise. When I start running the 30s and 40s ones again, they'll write, you show too much Frankenstein, Dracula, werewolf. That sucks. So you can't make everybody happy, you know?
But you still try, don't you?
You have to keep trying.
I try and fail, yes.
Yeah. Really quickly, Joe Flaherty on SCTV did kind of a version of this with Count Floyd.
Yeah.
Floyd Robertson was the anchor man, but they also made him do double duty as a horror show host. What did you think of his portrayal?
I always loved it. I thought he was hilarious. Just the whole idea. And he really played off what was very common and sometimes still is with horror hosts, that you'd get movies that weren't horror movies.
Right.
I've had a few of those.
Right.
Or, you know, stuff that is there and he'd be, you know, talking to the guys off camera. Who booked this movie? Prickly! And he'd be so angry. And then snapping the character. Ooh, kids, wasn't that scary? And I always loved Joe Flaherty. Anyway, I was lucky. Right when I graduated from high school, I went to the Second City, and he was on stage at the time.
Oh, really?
And doing characters, and he was just fantastic.
Oh, that's so nice.
It's RondoAward.com. That is what it is, to vote for your favorite horror host and movies and other things.
And please follow the directions, because if you do not, they will not allow your vote to be counted. And you can only vote once.
What?
Yes, it
says
that.
Even in Chicago, believe it or not.
That's crazy. Rich, it's always fun to talk to you. It's always good to see you. That's Rich Kose, everybody. You know him and love him. As a friend of Svengoolie's, confidant of Svengoolie's, Saturday nights at 7 on MeTV. Thank you for being here.
I'm always happy to be with you guys. Nobody makes me laugh more than you.
Oh, you're so nice. Thank you, Rich.
Thanks, Rich.